I just want to introduce Colin Barnes, who's going to come and speak to us this morning. For those of you who don't know Colin, Colin is the leader of River as a whole, and he's a fantastic man, full of the Spirit. I think we found your new anthem in the worship this morning. I can't remember exactly what the words were, something about coming alive on God's dance floor. And you only need to be around Colin for a few moments before you realise that dancing is the place where he does come alive. So, yeah, let's just pray for Colin. Lord, we just thank you so much for Colin. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, just fill him afresh, that the words that you've given him for us this morning would really go into our hearts and just produce fruit that will last. Amen.
The place where I come alive is on the dance floor. The other place I come to alive is in the mountains, and that's where I've been for a couple of days this week in the Lake District, which was fantastic. And I'm off to Nepal next month as well, the land of mountains, which is going to be wonderful. Awesome. We've had such a great morning already. I don't know about you guys, but I'm already really blessed from having been here in the worship with our students, the Edge guys here, with all that's been going on, the stories we've been hearing from around the congregations. I'm already blessed. Well, if you've got a Bible or a smartphone or something, you might want to turn to Romans chapter 8. There's some well-known verses I just want to speak a little bit on. Aware that time's run away with us a bit this morning, so I'm going to endeavour to be quick. Some people are laughing. That's terrible. That's Lord, I repent of all the times I've overrun. But repentance means action. I must get going. And so, Romans chapter 8, one of these chapters these days that I live a lot in, I get a lot out of. You know, there are seasons, aren't there, when we just, scripture comes alive to us, and we just need to keep reading it, and keep reading it, and keep reading it. And something about that just gets something deep into us. I can't explain it, it's just something that we need to do, to meditate, to ruminate, to cogitate on the word of God, and it brings life to us. And so Romans chapter 8 is one of those chapters I love to read and reread. But there is a verse in it which has sometimes caused me confusion in the past. Verse 15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So the Apostle Paul there's crying out, he says that by the Spirit, you know, we cry out, Abba, Father. We have the Spirit of adoption. And I get to thinking, hold on a minute. I thought we were born of God. Didn't think we were adopted into his family. I thought we were born. I don't know about you, but that for me, that just caused a little bit of a complication. I thought, am I adopted or am I born? And, you know, that, I used to wrestle with that a little bit, and I had the privilege of studying under Roger Forster, and I asked him, and he said, oh, no, Colin, adoption's got nothing to do with actually being accepted into the family. It's about inheritance. It's about receiving inheritance. And I thought, that makes sense. And I was so overjoyed, I walked away. And then I realised I didn't actually know where he got that from. You know, and like we're all good historians, we're all good, we'd like to tell the truth, don't we, in this church? And so we'd like to know our sources, we'd like to know where things come from, we don't like just to quote third-hand stories. And so I wrote to him afterwards, I said, look, Roger, where did that come from? I got nothing back. So I was stymied. But the Holy Spirit's great, you know, he surprises us in all kinds of ways. And my wife bought me a book on Augustus, which I read over the summer, which is that Augustus was the first Roman emperor, true Roman emperor. Julius Caesar nearly made it, but Augustus was his kind of preferred heir, and he did make it, and he established the Roman Empire in a great season of peace. Now, he left his first wife, Octavius, Augustus, and remarried. And when he remarried in 39 BC, he brought in his wife's children, one of whom was Tiberius. So he was brought into the family at that point. But they lived together for years and years and years. And actually, Augustus didn't like Tiberius very much. He thought he was a bit proud and arrogant. And he preferred other people. So he married his daughter off to other men that he would prefer to be emperor after him. But after many, many years, those other men had died. And Augustus lived to a ripe old age. He was emperor until AD 14. And at that, but in AD 4, he adopted Tiberius as his son and heir. So then when you read in the Greek, the adoption, the spirit of adoption, that son placing, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about actually as being adopted as the heir. Now, you know, for us, that sounds a bit strange because we're used to adoption meaning just bringing into the family. But when you understand it in that way, it begins to make sense, because if anybody understood what adoption was about in those days, it was the Romans. They knew that whoever the emperor adopted would be the next emperor. So they understood it was about inheritance. It was about passing on the goodness and the wealth and the fortune and the favor that he'd built up over the empire, passing it on. So here we have Paul saying, by the spirit of adoption, we cry out, Abba, Father. It's so much more than just being a child of God, being welcomed into the family. Actually, it's about a huge inheritance that we have in Christ. Can you imagine that? Just imagine you're Tiberius growing up. You're in the family, you know, you're part of the family, but actually you know that your dad prefers other men or women around you. His favor rests on them. And you grew up feeling quite, you know, bitter. But when you're adopted by the emperor, you know that you're his successor. You're following into his footsteps. That's amazing. We're adopted by God. We're Christ's inheritance. We're co-heirs, it goes on. That's why it talks about being co-heirs with Christ in the two verses down. That's incredible. We get to inherit all God's amazing power and glory and goodness. So what it meant for the young Tiberius, a few things. It meant, firstly, he would live in less fear, because if anybody moved against him, they'd be moving against the emperor. That's a pretty dodgy thing to do. Yeah, so it means less fear, more hope. All of a sudden, he knows he's going to be emperor. He can dream bigger dreams. He can make bigger plans. He can start to think in a whole different kind of way. And also, what it meant was he then was walking in the favor of the emperor. So all of a sudden, he was getting the favors that his dad was passing around. If his dad was giving out new lands, he would get some. If his dad was giving out compliments, he would get some. The senators would see all that, all the rulers, and they would start favoring him too, and the people would favor him. He walked in the great favor of people. Just like Jesus grew in favor with God and men, so does the heir or the adopted son. So this is what Paul was trying to communicate in that phrase, the spirit of adoption. It's fantastic. So we are co-heirs with Christ, and we benefit from this in the same ways that Tiberius did. Basically, firstly, there's less fear. So it says, we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. You know, the Roman Christians that Paul was writing to knew only too well. They had great reasons to fear. You know, the emperor Nero had some covered in oil and set alight as torches, didn't he, in his garden. Others were thrown to the lions. They were persecuted terribly. They had great fear. If they focused on the things that could happen to them because they follow Christ, they'd have a lot of reasons to fear. And Paul was saying, no, don't fear. You know, when we look around at our world, I don't know about you, but it's almost like you read the websites and the newspapers and listen to them. It's terrifying, actually. If you dwell in that place, if you just look at the news and live in that place, it could be terrifying. You know, you've got threats of war, you've got threats of terrorism, you've got threats of disease, Ebola running around. You've got threats from every different which way. Financial crises that those governments have no idea what to do with, energy crises. You know, wherever you look, it seems, there's a bit of panic and uncertainty. And that's contagious, that spreads. We could spread to us if we're not careful. That's before we got onto our own stuff, our own health, our own finances, our own families and relationships and neighbours and bosses. You know, there's no end of things we could be fearful of. And you know, fear is a crippling thing. Fear will stop you from going to the places you need to go. Fear will stop me from living in the goodness of the things I should be living in. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who's scared. But they act irrationally. I was once walking with in the mountains with a lady, and we were walking just on the side of a path. But just because we were next to a rocky ridge, she was clinging to the grass, saying, "Get a helicopter to come and rescue me." No, she was, "Get a helicopter, please." We just had to talk peace and calm, but fear was spreading around the group because she was fearful. Fear is crippling. I was walking in the lakes this week and going up Crinkle Crags, which is a great little walk in Langdale. It's aptly named, up and down, a lot of crags on top of about 850 metres up or so. Getting carried away. Next month is the thousands. This month is the hundreds. And I was walking and met one guy and he said, "Oh, I've just had to help a couple that they turned around at the bad step." I thought, that doesn't sound like a very good place. He said that they were too scared to come down. I tried to talk them down, but they wouldn't do it. So they had to go all the way back up and round. The delay that they had to face because they let fear grab hold of them. Look at the people, look at the guys entering the promised land. God says, "Go in and take possession of all the good things I've given you." And yet they saw the people living there. They saw them. There were giants, and they said, "We can't do it." The fear gripped their hearts. It stopped them from walking in and inheriting all that they had to inherit. Fear will take away from us all the promises of God. I remember when I was in Nepal, one of the most dramatic freedoms from fear I saw was at a Holy Spirit day I was teaching. And there was a young lady there called Srijana, and she couldn't go out very often because whenever she saw a dead animal or a dead person, and you see there's a lot in Nepal, she was terrified of death. It was almost like a spirit of fear on her. She would have to turn around immediately and go home. So the number of days that she went out and just came straight back without getting where she wanted to go. But we had this Holy Spirit that we prayed for her, and she shrieked and fell down and broke all her bangles. Fear broke off her that day. And she became the most outrageous evangelist, bringing people from all over. But that gift was robbed from the church by fear. Your gifts can be robbed. My gifts can be robbed if we walk in fear. I still sometimes walk in fear. I grew up in fear. I still sometimes walk in fear. And when I get fearful, I do not behave well. But when we know we're adopted, when Christ has adopted you and me, we're his favorites, we're his heirs, that transforms everything. To know that God is with us, suddenly courage comes. Come on. You know, throughout the Bible, we get those messages, "Fear not, for I am with you." God said it to Abraham, "Fear not, I'm with you. I am your shield." It says it in the church that's in persecution in Smyrna, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'll give you the crown of life." And it's the answer, isn't it? You know, any of us who've got children know that's the answer. Kids can be terrified in a place, but as soon as they put their hand in yours, peace comes to them. My daughter was terrified of water, but peace comes to her when she's with you. She clings to you. She wants to be with you because you know she's safe. We get peace when we know that God is with us. And, you know, I hear that God declaring that over us today. When I was praying this morning, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, "Declare it over the people, fear not, for I am with you." And we sang that song. I didn't know Andy was going to sing that song about the chains being broken. And I just see them being broken this morning in the Spirit. And some fears that people have held on to for years are being broken today, even as we preach. Even as we sit here right now, if you know that you're battling with fear, just receive freedom in the name of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is here to bring freedom. He's not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption is coming on you. The spirit of favor, of knowing you're Christ's. Okay, I'll move on quickly. You know, we should all expect to be blessed when we know we're walking in that kind of favor, when we're adopted. But that doesn't mean everything goes well. You know, often note that God says, "Do not fear," to his people, not because they're feared for no reason, but they're feared for very good reasons. Like the Roman church, Christians were fearful of their lives. Like the church in Smyrna was fearful of its lives. Things don't always go to plan. And that's where we need to know that God is with us even more. And that, actually, just because stuff doesn't work out the way we want doesn't mean to say that God has left us, that we're no longer favored, that we're no longer adopted, that we're no longer heirs. Because in the very next thing he says, I consider in verse 18 that our sufferings at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And it says we're only heirs with Christ if indeed we suffer with him. So it's not a black and white either or thing. This is hope to push through the stuff when stuff doesn't go wrong, when stuff doesn't go right. It's easy to push through when stuff doesn't go wrong. But to persevere when stuff isn't going the way we thought it would go, we need hope to be released to us. You see, we do lose heart when we hear, listen to all the news that's going on. But when we know that God is working for good in all things, hope comes. And that's what Paul says in a very few verses down the road here. God is working for good in everything. And when Isaiah prophesied, didn't he, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Dave read it out this morning in the prayer meeting. Yeah, that's a prophecy we can cling on to when the world is promoting bad news, or when things take a bad turn in our lives. Actually, we can take a higher perspective and say, actually, God is still in this. God is still with me. God has not abandoned me into my suffering. God has not left me just because things haven't worked out the way I thought they would. I can still hope for breakthrough. I can still see freedom coming. I can still see joy coming, hope coming. Jesus Christ, you know, all God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't mean we have a suffering-free life. And that's why Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. In chapter 15 of Romans, verse 13. And it's that hope that keeps us going when other people give up. Verse 25 of chapter 8 says, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope is the thing that keeps us going. It really is. And when we know we're adopted, when we have the spirit of adoption, when we know we're favored, hope springs in our hearts, doesn't it? And yet, so that's easy to say at one level, but so hard to live in at another. And to practice living in the hope of God. You know, Miriam Swaffield was right in that video that we just showed earlier. Maybe it's the way we walk. We keep pushing through. We keep going on. Nothing gets us down. We keep believing that things are going to get better because God has spoken it. Not because it's just a nice thing to believe, but because God has promised it. Of the increase of my government and peace, there will be no end. And if we look at history, we see the kingdom of God growing. If you look at the big picture, it's only when we look at a small piece that we might start to think that actually there's problems. So let's keep that higher perspective and let's keep our hope high. And God is wanting to release fresh hope today. Fresh hope for those that are on the verge of giving up. There's a promise, it's a specific promise for someone when I was praying this morning from Romans 15 verse 4. And it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and or the perseverance and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And as I was praying about this hope being released over us, the Holy Spirit said to me, Colin, there's someone here who's on the verge of losing hope, but actually I want to encourage them to read the scriptures. Because in reading the scriptures, they will find a new perseverance come for their situation, a new hope rising in their hearts. As they read about my goodness from Genesis to Revelation, as they read how I've acted throughout history, hope is going to stir again in their hearts to push through, to persevere, to break through, to not give up. So if that is you, embrace that promise from God and start wherever you are, however you read the Bible currently or don't. Make a decision in your will right now just to read more, just to embrace that and to know that the perseverance and comfort of the scriptures will come to you and bring overflowing hope into your heart, into your situation. And nearly finished. The last little bit is on favor. It says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, we talk about a lot about favor, don't we, in River? And favor is vital. And that's why the spirit of adoption thing is so fantastic, when we understand what it means. We're the favored son. We're all the favored son. That's glorious news. It makes you feel good to know that you're the favorite. You see, in life, it's not the cleverest that always win or succeed. It's not the strongest who always win. It's not the fastest who always win. The winning hand is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The winning hand is that God is with us, his favor resting on us. That's what we need. You know, and it's like, when we talk about favor, it's like the blessing of God, yes. It's like things working out in a way you could never have planned. With all of your hard work, if you get up early and go to bed late, if you work as hard as you can and plan meticulously and do everything you possibly can in your own strength to make it a success, and yet favor is when you don't always do the best you can and you don't always, and let's face it, we all stumble along in those kind of things. But favor is when things work out somehow. And I mean, it's almost like the supernatural force of good is working with us and for us. It's like yesterday. I mean, I'm struggling with my back. I do sometimes every couple of years or so. And last month or so, I've been struggling with my back and camping and walking and stuff like that. It's good for it, but I was in a bit of pain. And normally I can exercise it out. I can get rid of it and it will go away for a couple of years. And that's fine. I'm back dancing and jumping around. But this month, it's been a bit of a pain. And just before I went walking in the lakes, it really flared up. And I thought, it's been going on for about 5 or 6 weeks. So yesterday morning, I said to Sadie, I may need to see a chiropractor. Okay? And so I then walk into town. And actually, before going to that, another thing God has been speaking to me about is saying that, Colin, I really want the church actually to be a light to the world in this time. I really want River Church to be a light to the world in these days. And the whole world is scared of religious sectarianism, about religious divides and the division of communities and how we've become enemies even in our own land. He said, I want River Church to be a part of breaking those walls down. So I felt the Holy Spirit stirring me up to pray for Muslims and to reach out to mosques and to Muslims in our area. And, you know, that's a reawakening of something that the Holy Spirit laid on me as a young Christian. When I was only 24, when I got saved, God, I had a couple of Muslim friends at work and God gave me a real heart for Muslims. Anyway, I've been talking to some of the church leaders saying, how do we do this? I'd have no idea how we do this. You know, do you mind if I pursue this? Because it may affect what we do at churches. I have no idea. You know, could we have a party with the Muslims from the mosque? You know, I have no idea how it will look. I just feel the Holy Spirit asking me to do something. So anyway, I then go into town yesterday after saying, Sadie, I need to see a chiropractor probably. And I go to town, and do you know what? Do some outreach with Carrie. Some fantastic fun. I love doing outreach. Go around, see if we can bless people, not beat them over the head, but just to tell them some good news, and to bless them, to pray for them, if possible. And I wasn't feeling like it. I wasn't up for it, but I thought I'd do it out of obedience. It's like going to the gym sometimes. You know, you don't feel like you want to, but when you've been, you feel great. So I went down, and we prayed, and we went walked down the street. And what do I see? Chiropractic out on the street. I thought, what? I thought I better go and chat to this person. This could be God. And you know, part of this stuff going out on evangelism is actually just getting into the habit of always being in that presence when you know God is with you. And that's something we need all to develop. So anyway, I said to this lady, you know, it's funny you should be here because I was just thinking, telling my wife an hour ago that I need to see a chiropractor, and here you are. And we got chatting, and I discovered she's a Muslim. And I start telling her some things that God's been telling me, and she starts to cry. She said, I really love the sound of that. She said, I'll help you. I'll introduce you to some imams. I think, get in there, God. Thankfully, I was obedient and went and did what I said I was going to do. I didn't respond with my feelings and just get on with my busy day. That's the favor of God. You know, God just shows up in small ways. You might think that's a small thing, but for me, that's a big thing. And, you know, as I was walking away, my back got a bit better. I don't think I need to go and see a chiropractor now. But I did need to go and see a chiropractor. God is so funny. You make me laugh. But God wants us all to know that his favor rests on us this morning. You know, those kind of little things that open doors for us that we could never open. Those, you know, I could never have organized that kind of thing. But God is a great organizer, introducing us to the people we need to meet, taking us to the places we need to go so that we can release more of his goodness and more of his favor, more of his power. I want to finish there and run out of time. That God is here. Andy, will you come up with the band, please, mate? So that's the spirit of adoption. It's amazing. It makes us walk really tall to know that you're the adopted son of the Most High God in Christ Jesus. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And the spirit is here this morning, that spirit of adoption, to break the chains of fear, to breathe hope into our lives, and to also help us to know that we're anointed and favored to open doors that are otherwise closed. So Andy, will you just lead us in a song, and then we'll just have a response to that. Thank you Jesus. Yeah, thank you for the spirit of freedom, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the spirit of adoption. Thank you that you are with us, that you've chosen us, that we're anointed, that your favor rests upon us. And when you're with us, that's all that matters. Help us, Lord God, to walk in greater knowledge of that anointing, of that favor. Help us to walk in the knowledge of your sonship, to know you with us, opening doors that we could never open, closing doors that need to be closed. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that's coming today from fear, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're breaking fear off us today, that hearts are being set free, that fear will no longer determine where we work, where we live, who we relate to, what we do, but rather our lives will be characterized by hope, by confident expectation, joyful expectation, because we know that you are at work in all things for our good. In all things, you're working for good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Yeah, so it could be that you don't know Jesus. It could be that you don't know you're a son of God, or you've never heard that message before, or you've heard it this morning and you want to respond to it. Respond in your heart right now and receive Jesus. Say yes to God, and he will come in and be with you, and you will know joy and peace. And we are going to finish now, but Vicky's going to come and finish the meeting. But if some of the things that are spoken today around the breaking off of fear, if you know that actually you'd like someone to pray with you to break off a fear off you, then we're happy to pray with you. If you want to respond to that word about hope, about a need to actually pick up the Bible again and actually start to reread it with fresh eyes in these days, and have hope ministered to your heart because you felt like you were on the point of giving up. But actually, if you want to respond to that word, then come down. I would love to pray with you about that, if you're that person, and break that off you and release that hope over your life, because Jesus is here to do amazing things this morning. And lastly, that whole thing about walking in favor has spoken to you, and there's some doors that you're looking to see open that you pushed and haven't been opening, then again, come down and we're happy to pray with you, the leaders of the churches, myself. But thank you. Be blessed.